Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the count goes to 3-2. Now here comes Cora. The count 3-2, two down.
Interesting. Probably wants to tell him something here about... Go figure. I mean, there's been some strange things. Remember when he came out to the mound and they put a play on?
Pickoff play.
And it almost worked. He looked like a genius.
They went to review on it.
Yeah.
It was that close.
Uh-huh. And Bogey thought he had him. Remember, he was running off the field. Look at this. He's gone. On a 3-2 count, he gets the hook.
That. Wow.
You don't see that very often.
No, you don't. So 3-2, two down. He lifts the right-hander and is going to bring on the left-hander. And we've got a pitching change. Unusual.
Very.
Brings a grin to Jay's face. 5-4 Chicago. We'll have more in a moment.
Have you ever seen anything like that in your life?
No.
Ever?
No.
Tim McCone? You ever seen anything like that? We got McCone with us today.
Oh, electric.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Absolutely.
We got Jim
Louth
back.
How you doing, Louth?
No Hardy. Hardy's out this
Good.
Week.
How many pick and rolls you watch yesterday? Did you high-five the PC players and then walking by? Talked to Jim last night. He said, it's cool. Seeing players come in for lunch. One had a walking boot on. Jim's like, hey, how you doing?
So your boy Dan Copen. Schmoozing up to the coaches too.
No kidding.
Nice.
No
Dropping
kidding.
His son off at camp. Yeah.
Nice. Did he sit with his son all day? No, probably not.
No, I stayed till 10. Gave him a little wave. Had to go.
That's great. You're a good dad, buddy. You really are. I'm spraking your balls. How many pick and rolls? Like, what do you do between leg stuff? All that? They run sprints?
All sorts of calisthenics.
Nice.
Running the lines.
Really?
Did they have fun? Was it fun for him?
It's good.
Yeah.
A lot of jumping jacks.
Yeah. Cool game of tag. Yeah.
Tag.
Nice.
The basketball. Tag at basketball.
Yeah.
Camp.
Nice.
I'd ask for my money back.
Yes. Nice. That was the top of the eighth last night at Fenway Park. Top of the eighth, one out. Two outs, one on.
So that's after Sweet Caroline, that happened.
Yeah. Red Sox trailing 5-4. Colton Brewer on the mound. There's two outs and a 3-2 count. And John Jay at the plate.
My favorite part of this whole thing. Favorite part. Is watching Brewer walk off the mound. And his head's turning around like, what the hell just happened?
So, Jay goes down. John Jay goes down 0-2 at the plate. Okay? Brewer's ahead in the count 0-2. James McCann was on base. He stole second. Right? And then the count goes full. 3-2. And out came Cora. Out of the dugout. 3-2 count. Here comes Cora. No, we can't have this. Can't have this now.
We talked a lot about Eck yesterday and how good Eck is what he does. And the funny part of how he was calling out the showman from Toronto. And here's Eck, who's seen everything, right? Dennis Eckersley has seen everything in his day.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be coming out here to talk to him, not take him out. Eck never anticipated that he would pull the pitcher. That's something you don't see.
Well, you thought at that point, when you saw Cora pop up, you're thinking, well, this is weird. What's he doing? Why is it?
He didn't come out and initially point, you know, give me right.
I started thinking about the stupid mound visit rules or something. I'm like, wait, is there a reason why he has to do this mound visit? Are they buying extra time? I'm thinking, who's warming up? Who are they buying the extra time for here? No, he wasn't buying any extra time. He wasn't buying a couple extra warm-ups. Nope. He was out there to make a pitching change with the count 3-2.
Explain this to me like I'm four.
Well,
if you can.
Okay. Well, what he didn't want, as he put it, was for John Jay to put the ball in play against a righty. And as he said, he knows that he can go out of the zone and flick it to left field. That's what he said.
Then why did he let him pitch to the player in the first case?
That if McCann, well, this is why. He said that things change when McCann stole second, because if McCann had hit a double,
okay,
he would have gone to Taylor against John Jay.
Okay. So the threat of the runner actually stealing and getting to second base, now single scores, duh. Yeah, obviously. But this is one hell of an excuse if you're buying it. Like, is this the new norm now? Is this what we're going to do?
Excuse for what, though?
That if we're in
What's he excusing for?
What would happen if he brought that guy in and that ball left the yard? If he put it over Lansdowne Street? He would be getting destroyed today. Killed.
So my question is this now, this is now going to be his M.O.? So what?
Ready for more of this?
So if there's a guy on second, if a guy steals a base and if a runner moves, he's now going to make pitching changes mid-count?
I guess.
This is now going to be part of his repertoire of moves?
Analytics, baby.
This is ridiculous.
Read the numbers. Look at the numbers.
I find this to be insane. I find this whole thing to be ridiculous.
I think it's crazy.
And useless. And then you know what happened. He goes to Taylor, who throws a pitch. And if you're that fearful, just have him put him on. First base is empty, and there are two outs here. Have him throw a pitch outside,
and
then take him out of the game.
Walk the guy and make a change. Yep, walk the guy and make a change.
What the hell are you doing?
Him in for the kill pitch, though. Okay. Doesn't that make sense to you?
The kill pitch.
Oh, what if he groove one right down the middle, Jim, as a kill pitch that you're saying? It's 92 miles an hour, and that guy launches
it. 3-2, two outs. You have one pitch.
Hitter's pitch.
3-2, two outs. You have one pitch to strike somebody out to end the inning.
Oh, my God.
Do you trust Colton Brewer more? Or do you trust anybody else you can bring in the game at that point?
I don't trust anybody that's cold.
I'm just throwing the scenario out there. I'm not even naming names. Just name two ex-relievers.
Do you know what else I think is so funny is that the two guys we're talking about here are Colton Brewer and Josh Taylor. I mean, just consider the names
as we consider these
high leverage, highly detailed, very well thought out moves by Alex Cora. Did he think for a second the guys he's dealing with and working with? We gave the guy credit last week for just saying, the hell with it. You know, this thing is going to balance out in the end here when it comes to making moves with his relievers. We did. Because at some point, you just throw your hands up and say, this bullpen is trash. Yeah. At some point, I'm going to win some of these battles, aren't I? Because at some point, water will seek its level, and some nights we're going to do okay, and some nights we're going to end up blowing huge, massive leads after the seventh inning like they did on Saturday with that complete, utter disaster.
Oh, maybe it's a shot upstairs.
But maybe it's a sign upstairs. Now they are going to overthink it to the point where they're going to make pitching changes with a 3-2 count to go from a guy named Colton Brewer to a guy named Josh Taylor.
Yeah.
What the hell? Does that serve any of those guys? So Colton Brewer is like, what the hell is going on here? It doesn't serve that guy. It doesn't serve the guy who now has to come in with a 3-2 count pitching into the game. What is going on? And Cora talked about it after the game, having to talk to Brewer and asking him, please, please bear with me. Bear with your crazy manager, because he knows that does no good instilling confidence into your pitchers going, you're pulling me out of the game with a 3-2 count.
You lose your
player. So I was good enough to start the set, Pat, but I'm not good enough to finish it. I got the first two outs of the inning here, Skip. I let one guy on, and I've got to come out of the game with a 3-2 count? Is this really happening right now?
I've never seen anything like it.
Are we that fearful of the bullpen? Yeah. Are we that fearful of leaving a guy in the game that we have to pull guys out with a 3-2 count? That just tells me that Alex Cora is shell-shocked by his horrible bullpen. I almost don't even want to blame Alex Cora. I really just want to keep going back to Dave Dombrowski and the terrible job he did building the bullpen. His manager,
Stephen Wright's coming.
His manager is shook. Yeah. That's what that looked like last night.
You take this as a sign.
Thank God they won the game.
Yeah.
It feels like a team, despite where they are, despite the fact that things at times feel like they're trending up, and they keep telling us they're back. You know,
Shut up.
Win a few games in Baltimore. We're back. win the first one in Minnesota. Woo, it feels like last year, says Cora. You know, there are some bright spots here and there.
Yeah.
You know, there are some things trending up, but it just felt like last night that this team is still teetering, and they needed one, and they got one last night after getting their doors blown off over the weekend against Toronto in horrible fashion. And they're a team that finally is back to 500 at home at Fenway Park this year.
It's almost like
they're a
desperate
team that is teetering, and they felt like a team that desperately needed a win. And last night would have felt like another bad loss at home. So I'm glad they got one. But, man, that was a bad look for this team. It really was. They are rattled.
With their payroll and where they sit and coming off a world championship and the amount of payroll that you have, that you've resulted to this, to the two names that you mentioned. I look at this as more of, hey, you know what it's going to be, Dave Dombrowski? If this is what you've constructed and given me to have for me to formulate my bullpen, I'm going to continue to go out and make these type of moves. They're crazy. They're outside the box. But you have left me, and I'm resorted to this.
How'd the base running look last night?
Oh,
between
terrible.
Devers, between Jackie Bradley Jr., they look like a team that's locked in, focused, back. You keep telling us they're back.
I mean, that's what Jackie Bradley's supposed to be good at, right? The base running, the catching,
back.
All the other stuff.
Hey,
other
we're
than
back.
Hitting.
It's 2018 all over again.
Nice job, Vasquez.
So you don't think it's anything to do with take the situation out? This end has nothing to do with innovation.
No.
Nope.
No.
And something they might be going to.
I think they're playing scared.
Upstairs.
I think McConaughey might have stumbled across something.
Oh. Yeah? Anything
good? Just chatting about it in the office before the show.
What
there's new rules
across?
Next year, right, for relievers?
What do you got there?
They have to face a minimum amount of batters.
And so what do you think?
So Colton Brewer and Josh Taylor both faced the same batter. They both faced a batter, but it was the same guy.
So,
are we going to see this next year with guys coming in after one pitch?
What's the minimum?
It's three batters, right?
It's three batters. So if you each face the same batter, does that count as one batter
McCone's
for each
got
pitcher?
One step further, right?
Right. So then on the next, on the third batter, you only leave them in for one pitch. So really it doesn't change.
So are they experimenting with something for next season?
Possibly.
And they're starting that on June 24th?
Hold on. So you just said they finally get back to 500 at home. Your beloved
500
Red Sox
at home.
At
yeah,
Fenway
they're
Park.
Back to even.
You weren't guaranteed the win yet. So a team that's floundering under 500 at home is going to start getting ready for next year.
Yeah, they're just so innovative.
Oh, that's brilliant.
They're really they're
who
just
did, who did your hair today,
so
McCone?
Innovative.
I don't know. Is it crazy?
It's you got some sweet gel in there. Like
I'm going to be honest with you. It was
maybe
kind of
it's
a fire
seeping
drill
down.
Here. Yeah.
Maybe it's seeping down. Into your scalp.
No, I think teams that are eight games out of first place in their division after winning last night, that's the time to start thinking about the innovation for next season. You guys are right. You guys are on to something.
Oh, yeah.
You should tell us more about that coming up. 617-779-0985.
Yeah, David Price could have pitched quicker,
more
too.
More on that bullpen building. Your calls on last night's game. I'm so thankful they got a win. They needed it. And can you imagine that? They just felt desperate for a win, and they got one. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. We start with the Sox today. And should they blow it up, as it has been suggested by one of the beat writers, that they just start trading off pieces on this team? That feels a little extreme. We'll get to that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To short, Anderson crossed the diamond. Close, he dropped it, and the Red Sox win it. Benintendi in to score, and the Sox win the game. They walk off another one, 6-5. Anderson skipping the throw. Abreu could not handle it, and the Red Sox win the ball game and take game one.
Cool. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Marco Hernandez.
Marco
Hernandez, the big hero last night at Fenway Park. Walk-off infield single. Red Sox win 6-5. Red Sox get the win. Yeah, there you go, Zo. There you go.
Down by the river.
Keep going.
Can you go swimming in a river like when it's hot? That river is
dirty,
right?
No, nasty. It's filthy. It's still filthy. I mean, it's much cleaner than it used to be.
I mean, a really hot day, I'd jump in.
Still not a place you want to go swimming. Yeah. I mean, if you fell in, you're not gonna. I don't think you're gonna get instantly sick, but it's not a place I would put, you know, in your regular swimming spots.
You usually dive in your pool and like, whoosh, like I'll swish out, and you squirt water out of your mouth. You wouldn't do that there. Yeah, that's bacteria. Eesh.
Yeah, I would say that it's the type of place that you want to not regularly swim in. Mm. If that makes sense. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense.
That makes sense?
Sure.
617-779-0985. Pete Abe, a couple days ago, Zoe's favorite baseball writer in all Boston. What do you call him?
Sweet feet. Sweet legs.
You're such a dick.
Pete Meat. Whatever. Hey, it's something meat. Pete Meat. You know what? You know why he drives me crazy? Because he's such a sort of. And I know Felger and Maz were calling keeper of the gate.
Well, right? Like, who are the beat guys on the Sox anymore? This is like a dwindling roster of Red Sox beat guys, isn't it?
Yeah,
feels that way. I mean, Silverman is still at the Herald, right?
Bradford.
But Pete? Like the Herald has never been less relevant than it is now.
So Pete, I guess
never been less relevant.
Isn't that Mastronato now?
Is it? I don't know. You know why? Because the Herald went behind a paywall, that is. And forget that. You think I'm paying for that?
Somebody,
no way.
Somebody had to pick up because of Nick's passing. So Pete had extra, and I think one of the female helped pick it up at the Globe. I forget her name. Darn it.
Yeah, that Boston Herald and that website behind a paywall. Paywall. Why can't I say paywall today?
Paywall.
Seems like a hard word to get out today. That website has always sucked. Just trying to get the thing to load. Forget it. So that content, gone. Never makes it into our notes anymore, ever, on a daily basis.
No, but I would always get on Pete because it would be over-the-top adulation of the Red Sox.
Well, I can just tell you.
Regardless
listen,
of the situation.
Say whatever you want about Pete Abraham. I read him.
He brought it. He brought it yesterday.
His content is in my regular stuff. But anyway, he had this the other day. Sunday coverage in the Globe. Buy or sell. This might be the time for a makeover of the underperforming Red Sox. And he goes on to say that this might be, at the midway point, though, a time that the Red Sox could consider selling because the Red Sox have little chance of winning a best-of-five series against the Yankees or Astros based on what we've seen so far. Do we think the Yankees or Astros are absolutely going to win a short series against the Red Sox right now? Again, it's only June 25th, okay?
Probably.
So there's some time here.
Probably.
We don't know what team's going to look like in September.
There's no guarantee, but I would say probably. I would say they would be the favorite.
They absolutely would be the favorite.
Right.
The Red Sox bullpen is a massive problem.
Okay.
Is the Red Sox bullpen beyond repair?
Currently, as it's constituted, with no help coming in?
No, I mean, but could you fix it? Could you conceivably go to the deadline
yes.
and say, listen, we got to move pieces. We got to do something here.
Absolutely.
Okay, when you have a payroll that the Red Sox have and you have the amount of talent on your roster already,
right.
the lineup and the starters that you have, wouldn't that just automatically, the investment you've already made, wouldn't that automatically make you worthy of a further investment for your bullpen?
Yeah, you have to.
Don't you have to?
You have to because, I mean, you're coming off a World Series. And I know Henry has talked about it before where, you know, I'm fine winning it as long as I can win it. I know eventually we hit rock bottom, but then we're going to win another one. And there's none of that consistency where, you know, the stuff you guys talked about with Kraft that one year at the Super Bowl. Would you always rather be consistent and be there, but or would you want that championship? The fact you're there and the way – I think you have to look at the way the landscape is constituted. Look at
that would all be conventional wisdom.
Look at the
– That would all be very conventional thinking. And Pete Abe –
they're still a contender.
Here's something I haven't said often about Pete Abe. I'll say it right now. He's not a conventional thinker. Listen to this. He says the Red Sox bullpen is not deep enough and several important players, Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez in particular, are not playing with the same flair and sense of purpose they showed a year ago. What a dig at those two guys. I like that.
Okay.
Beat guy going in hard on two stars. Why don't you two show up a little more? Why don't you start playing with the same sense of purpose you did a year ago?
See, you know what's weird, though,
fair
too?
Fair criticism, by the way, of both of those guys.
So...
why don't you two start producing the way you did last season?
Betts has a chance to be the highest paid player in baseball at some point here. And I think that's what you're starting to see down the road here. Now, I don't know if
you know what?
He's testing the waters here.
He's starting to look and play like a guy who's just expecting it to happen, doesn't he?
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know if this is Pete being told to, hey, you know what? Test the waters here. Put it out there. Let's get on our guys.
Even if he is, he's writing it and he's putting his name to it.
That's good.
Attaboy, Pete Abe.
That'll piss off the clubhouse.
How about this? Even fiery Chris Sale has been meandering along.
Oh.
Pete Ames!
Zing.
The Red Sox are what their 42, and this is written a few days ago, 42 and 37 record says they are. A decent team, but not a good one. Sunday's dreary 6-1 loss against the Blue Jays was further evidence of that.
Ugh.
Today, we didn't show up, Cora said. It was disappointing. The solution most years would be to make a trade to improve the bullpen and give the team a needed shot of energy. But the Sox are already pushing up against the biggest threshold of the luxury tax, and the penalties become even more significant. They also should be hoarding prospects in their fallow farm system, not shedding more. So here's a thought. Go in the other direction and sell. That's from Peter Abraham, beat reporter, guy who's in there every day and faces the music from those guys every day.
Take
I give him
balls.
A lot of credit for that.
Take some balls because he's going to have to hear it from them. Yeah. And they're pretty good at giving back to people when they hear the stuff, right?
Yeah. He goes after Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, and Chris Sale. He does not go after the Marco Hernandezes of the world.
Right, the easy ones. Easy
okay,
targets.
And he's not picking on the bullpen. He ain't picking on how the bullpen sucks, right? Not putting it on the guys in there who stink, but what's
right
the point of ripping those guys?
Your three big names. He went right after him. Right after him. That's good.
He wants them to sell, though.
But
I can't get on board with that, though.
I know.
I don't
because
want,
the league
I want them
sucks.
To sell.
No, you don't
well,
want
does that mean
sell.
He wants to sell those guys?
Well, that's the thing. If you say you just sell bets alone. You're gonna get
you ready?
A whirlwind back.
The story continues. Did you read
right.
any of this?
No.
All right, I'll tell you what he says. The options are many, he says. You can offer Martinez more money, he said, to avoid his opt-out. And if he refuses, trade him. So he talks about trading J.D. Martinez. He says, offer Betts an extension. If he turns it down, trade him. So he is talking about trading Martinez. He is talking about trading Betts. He says, trade Rick Porcello. He's got him on the list.
That's an obvious one.
Porcello's an obvious and easy one.
So this is 2014 then again with Lester. This is what we're doing.
He says, see what you can get from Mitch Moreland when he returns from the injured list. He says, Brock Holt, see you later.
Yeah.
Take advantage of trading Brock Holt. Be open-minded. Eduardo Rodriguez, trade him. See what the market is. Jackie Bradley Jr., he's available. I love this line. This is my favorite line. This is my favorite line in the entire story. Can I tell you what it is?
What?
Put the entire bullpen on the market, every one of them. The Sox are wearing out Matt Barnes, Brandon Workman, Ryan Brazier, and Heath Embry. Let some other this is my favorite part. Let some other team deal with the aftermath.
Awesome. Smoke show.
Get rid of them all. He says, to be certain, the Red Sox have untouchables. Here are his untouchables, the guys he's not willing to trade. Andrew Benintendi, Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers. Benintendi, Bogaerts, Devers. And then randomly, the same is true for Christian Vasquez, given his team-friendly contract and the difficulty in finding a good catcher. What? I don't get that one. I'd trade Vasquez, too. You can have him. If that's what it takes to get one of these deals done, you can have Vasquez. He says Michael Chavis is a low-cost keeper. I disagree with that. I would trade Chavis if a team comes along and thinks he's a valuable piece. Chavis is a fun young player. He can obviously hit for power. If someone wants him at the right price, he's not an untouchable for me. Right now is the time to trade a guy like Chavis. The price is really high.
Imagine, it doesn't sound like you have many untouchables then.
I don't.
Imagine these names that he's putting out there, though. Sell. He's getting on Martinez.
But I'm not selling, Jim. Jim, I'm not selling, though. I don't want to blow up this team. No way.
You get in it in the end.
I want there to be a season.
They're treading water right now, but I mean,
I want this to be interesting down the stretch. I want them to actually go and add to this bullpen and try and figure this thing out. I'm not letting them off the hook. Go figure this out and figure out that bullpen. And if it costs you significant money, I don't care. I don't care about your money. I don't care about your competitive balance tax. I don't care what you have to spend to do it if you're paying a really high tax on it. I don't care.
See, the attachment to the team and attachment to players,
paying customer, Jim. I pay their stupid ticket prices. And they are stupid.
It sounds like you were willing to trade everybody, but you don't want to trade anybody.
No. For potential trades, like you have to give something up to if you need to do a blockbuster deal.
Yeah.
Right? And there's some sort of mega deal on the table. I'm willing to trade a lot of guys on the roster. Yes.
Would you ultimately trade Betts though? For if you could stockpile your farm system and get a couple good players. Would you trade?
Well, no,
Mookie
because
back?
I don't think that trade makes sense right now in season. Now, if you're talking about in the offseason,
no, if you
after
think
the
this
year
guy's
is over,
never going to
yeah,
sign.
Yeah, you
with
could. Him. Yeah, I'm down the road. Yeah, but
see,
not right now.
People would lose their minds if they.
No, I don't
Betts.
Think. I don't think someone is crazy for saying let's talk about trading Mookie Betts, but in season before the year's over. No, I think that's crazy. Why are you talking about selling and blowing it up? I like someone who's open to trading anybody, though. In general, there shouldn't be all these untouchables.
It's sort of been Danny Ainge.
But right now, let's not blow the team up. Let's keep it together.
They would have to fall pretty far out. They would have to lose almost every game from now till the All-Star break to be in that conversation, no?
They're in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we doing here?
I mean, I don't count at the playoffs, the play-in game. I don't count the playoffs.
You're still
same thing. They're in the mix.
You're still technically a contender.
They're in the
you're
mix.
Not the favorite. You're a contender.
They're in the mix right now.
Contender
617,
doesn't mean they're winning it.
779-0985, the telephone number. We'll get to your calls coming up. Also want to touch on what's been going on with the Celtics. They had that press conference yesterday. So we got to look at that yesterday.
Yeah,
we didn't hear any of it.
They look like a 14-year-old AAU team with four guys up there with pegs and Danny.
There's a rumor on how the Celtics may spend some of their cap space on a expensive player who would eat up a decent amount of it. We'll tell you who that player is, and we'll tell you something that one of the new Celtics rookies, Carson Edwards, what his favorite cartoon is. It will be very disappointing. I can promise you will be disappointed in hearing this from this
kid. It's a problem. It's a problem.
You're going to have a reason not to like him already. That's all on the way.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody.
The phone number here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's off this week, but he just visited us. That was nice.
Good seeing Hardy. The son.
Yeah. And the dog.
And the dog. Dog's a little hyper.
Oh, the dog's hyper?
Dog is hyper.
Ooh. Yeah. I bet the dog is thinking, gee, this Zolak is hyper.
I try to get the dog going.
Yeah, no kidding.
I like kids and dogs.
No kidding. What do you think of Malcolm Brogdon?
Not much.
You don't think much?
Good player.
Yeah, good player.
I mean, this is plan C, D, E, whatever you want to call it.
You wouldn't like to see Malcolm Brogdon in a Celtics uniform?
I had higher expectations, but yeah, I'll take it for what it's given now.
The Celtics may be in the market for Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm.
According to Yahoo Sports, Brogdon is one of three specific restricted free agents with chatter building as a potential target for the Celtics. How about that? Chatter building. There's some building chatter.
It's nice.
About him. This is Kevin Smith of Yahoo Sports who is reporting this.
There's Anthony Davis chatter, too.
That's true, but that's water under the bridge now, so we have to
right.
let that one
to,
go.
To my point, a plan A is gone, Kyrie's gone, plan B's gone, plan C,
well,
okay, we're about plan
big
D,
man,
E. Yeah.
Big man Thomas Bryant and guard Thomas Satoransky are the other ones.
Who's your big man right now, McCone? You got a big man? Don't even have a big man.
It's not good right now. It's not good.
As Matt Doloff writes in 98.5thesportshub.com, unfortunately for Ainge, Danny Ainge, that is, he probably would need to overpay for Brogdon's services in order to pry him from the Bucks. He'd need to offer Malcolm Brogdon enough to make it hurt for Milwaukee to match the offer sheet.
Well, that's what you do.
And he'd have to go with that poison pill route.
Love the poison
and
pill.
And backload the annual salaries in a 4-year deal, which, if matched, would count against the Bucks' salary caps. That's what he would need to do.
Yeah, you need to get creative now is what Danny needs to do. And I think this is part of it. This is why you're hearing this guy's name. Now you start putting fillers out. Now you need to start checking and seeing what can we do to make ourselves better.
So such a deal would still be likely to carry a massive AAV for a good player. Yeah. It says good but not great player.
Yeah.
It says Brogdon would essentially become the point guard version. This is great. This is a good comp here on 98.5 sportshub.com. Good coverage of the Celtics. Brogdon would essentially become the point guard version of Al Horford.
Yeah. What you can do is to get the deal done.
Not great.
To get the deal done, you could.
He's not even Al Horford good, though.
Yeah. I think he's just making a comp of he's a good, valuable piece, but he's not.
Yeah.
By himself.
A poor man's Horford, though. He's a poor man's Horford in that respect, I think.
So what you do is you take the Celtics plane.
He's still young, though.
You take the Celtics plane, you fly him down to Houston, and you wind and dine him at Biggio's. So you're good, but not great.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He's a good player.
Yay.
He's not on Biggio's level either.
Can I just say this, though? This should be a sign of where the Celtics are.
Yeah.
So if you hate this, and I have the same reaction to you, I'm just, you know, giving you the lay of the land here. I'm like, okay.
I go, meh.
Guy who can shoot. But I'm like, that doesn't really get me excited. But that should tell you where the Celtics are right now. That's where they are dabbling, McCone.
I would lose a lot of faith.
That's where they're dabbling right now. That's what they're looking at. Those are their options.
I'll say this about Ainge. I know it hasn't gone well for him over the last 6 months, but generally he does a pretty good job of staying away from guys that are nice players. But ultimately, if you sign Brogdon to a huge contract, that's going to be a disaster.
He's not staying away. There's chatter building.
Chatter.
I have faith he's not going to pull the trigger on this deal. If he does, I'm out. But
chatter building.
What do you mean? If he pulls the trigger.
If he signs Brogdon,
there's an offer sheet.
You're out.
You're out on the Celtics.
Okay. What if he just puts an offer sheet in front of him?
No, don't do it. There's no...
Even if Brogdon says no thanks.
No, and even if the Bucks match, this is the type of deal that I would think that means the Celtics are on tilt, right?
So and you,
that
they're rattled by
the,
not...
that things haven't gone well for them the last few months, and they're making decisions that long-term aren't going to get you closer to a championship.
So that's not big fireworks for you. It'd be little ones.
Malcolm Brogdon is a sparkler at best.
Like that right there.
Yeah. Like...
See, that doesn't do anything to me.
That's not even a sparkler. That was a firework. Yeah.
Boom,
that was a small firework. We need the slow burn of the sparkler. That's a firework. No. We need the slow burn of the sparkler. It's like, what are we doing?
No, you want them sparklers. Yeah,
that slow burning off the stick.
What about that snake you light? The black snake?
That doesn't make any noise, though.
No real
sound effect for that. That's real quiet. Real quiet, those things.
By the way, fireworks next week. Go over the border. Get yours. Big week next week.
Big week. Yeah, big week. Baby. You ever burn yourself with one of those sparklers as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody had at one point. Everybody's been burned with a sparkler.
Just think, you're holding a metal stick. And it's
get
like
branded with one of those. Kids still use those? Are those still a thing?
Celtics are going to be fun to watch.
I feel like kids aren't allowed to do much.
They're
going to
play hard.
I feel like sparklers are things that you just don't hand kids anymore.
Especially year three. No, I would not do
Jim,
that.
Jim, what do you think? Kids? Sparklers? They still using those? Your kids are a little bit older, so you'd be better.
I haven't gone there yet.
No, see, he hasn't gone there yet. And
they might be afraid to hold them, actually.
Yeah, see, because they haven't been exposed to enough danger.
Yeah, maybe there's
they haven't been exposed to enough danger. That's a problem. I say this weekend, though, we get all our kids together, we throw them in the Charles for a swim, and then we give them sparklers.
Hell yeah.
And they'd be better for it.
Not while they're in the water, though.
They would absolutely be better for it. That's the absolute truth. And I'll tell you why. They've watched too much damn Caillou in their life. We'll get to that story because it involves
we've always said that.
It involves one of the new Celtics, Carson Edwards.
Yeah, you're a loser as a parent if you let your kid watch that.
You're a loser as a person if you tell me your favorite cartoon is Caillou.
He didn't mean this.
I'm hoping he didn't mean this because this means bad things for the Celtics if he means this.
And
this is what really how he feels in his heart.
No.
That Caillou is his favorite. That would be Carson Edwards, new member of the Celtics. You'll hear it from him next.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I saw your favorite cartoon is Caillou. I need you to explain yourself.
Am I able to say something real quick? What you laughing at? Caillou's my show. Especially growing up as a kid, Caillou was my show.
On the shores. Go ahead. It was your show, man.
That's that guy. Caillou's the man. It was really a tie between that and SpongeBob. But just thinking like at that time, Caillou was really the show for me. I enjoyed it.
You're getting to be a big boy.
Stop it, Jim.
I like exploring
stop.
Caillou.
Stop. Just stop.
So many things to do each day.
Stop it!
Turn it off.
Just shut it off.
This could be potentially the most unlikable Celtic team that we've had. He's kidding. Because you don't say SpongeBob and that in the same breath.
Sound like he's kidding? Could you pick two more polar opposite things?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Caillou?
It's a confused young man. Where the hell are your parents?
What's wrong with this guy? Now, this was the guy they took 33 overall, Carson Edwards.
You got three boys. You let your boys watch Caillou?
The guy Zoe fell in love with in the tournament for Purdue.
So
he was just hitting three after three after three.
I don't care.
Does he pass the ball? Of course a guy who likes Caillou is just going to keep shooting.
Yeah.
I don't want to pass the ball, Mommy.
Caillou is my show.
Why?
It's like Danny saying, like, we want people to come to work and want to be working. Everybody likes everybody.
My kids have pretty much grown out of the Caillou stage.
Yeah.
They've grown out of the Caillou.
Yeah, you're older than three.
Yeah.
I could see a one to two, three.
Caillou is never one of their, like, favorites.
Right.
They did watch it. I will admit, they watched it.
I did, too.
I personally would never, like, put it on. I just hated it. I hated Caillou.
I couldn't stand the dad's voice. I couldn't stand his whiny little, being a little.
Couldn't stand it. They randomly, two nights ago, asked to watch it.
Yeah. He said no, of course.
Randomly, they ended up watching it two nights ago.
My kid used to watch it,
too. And now they're at the age where they understand why make fun of Caillou.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they think it's funny now that I make fun of Caillou and his whine.
Hey, Mommy, Daddy don't like me with Rosie, my sister.
They've grown. So I think they're totally out of the Caillou stage.
Good.
And they know how ridiculous Caillou is.
Good job.
They've come to recognize how ridiculous
attaboy, Dad.
Caillou is. How ridiculous and whiny Caillou is. Caillou is the worst.
We can't even grow hair.
Why is it that he doesn't have hair? Has anyone want? Has anyone?
Charlie Brown never had hair. Nobody had a problem. Everybody likes Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown had a couple of hairs.
Yeah,
right.
Jim dressed up like Charlie Brown one Halloween. I made his outfit for him. Jim kind of looks like Caillou. That's not good.
I mean, Caillou doesn't even have a couple of hairs.
And this is the problem. This is the problem with Caillou, too.
I got
a couple friends that don't know how to wear a baseball hat.
Yeah.
You know, they always put on the back of the head. Like that brim, that front part is to pull down. You know what I mean? If you have one of those nice fitted hats, Beetle, do you wear it on the back of the head like it's a freaking beanie? You know, that you could spin the propeller with?
I'm not sure. I know what you mean.
A baseball hat. Like you put the baseball hat on and it's like up here.
No.
Caillou wears it like that. You know,
no.
The brim's pointing straight up. That's Caillou putting his hat on.
Mommy.
Stop.
Edwards.
Stop.
Edwards.
Carson Edwards. I'm out on this guy.
Out.
Out.
So out. Move on. Next.
Down on this guy.
He's got to do a 180 on. He's got to take this back.
He needs to. This again was with.
Know the room.
This is after his press conference yesterday talking to Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston. This needs to come to an end. This relationship with Carson Edwards and the Celtics, I would consider moving on.
Yeah.
Based on this.
Says a lot about the player.
Yeah. I have a train, too.
Like, what? He's a man now.
What adult?
You went to college.
What adult?
You played in the NCAA tournament.
He's 21 years old. What 21-year-old person says that is something that I can... I mean...
Something's not right with
the
person.
I'm being honest. It is
seriously. It's disturbing.
Odd. It's odd. The SpongeBob thing I get. SpongeBob is an adult. You can watch.
You hear one of the
SpongeBob other... has some humor in it that is not intended for kids.
One of the other draft picks was laughing in the background. He said, hey, can I stop? Like, what you laughing at? Like, he got defensive about it. Like, what's the problem?
You're watching a cartoon that's intended for three-year-olds.
Yeah.
It really is. It's not,
it's not
one of those cartoons that's intended for older kids that can also be watched by adults. It's not one of those. SpongeBob.
No, this is not Toy Story. This is not the movie Up. This is not
right.
Aladdin. This isn't Lion King.
What's going on YouTube? There's a lot of like bootleg, like Caillou stuff, like people making fun of Caillou with a different kind of cartoons.
Oh, really?
Caillou is an adult.
Let's play some.
I don't know what we can play, what we can.
Well, why don't you try it?
Caillou goes on a grown-up date?
Let's try it. Come on. Come on.
I have to listen to that first.
You got a dump on.
Oh, yeah, we'll just play it and worry about the consequences later.
I mean, you can dump it.
Just play it and dump it. Just play it right on. You know, I just realized that the call screener was broken. We have calls, and I didn't know it.
Oh, I didn't either.
Yeah. Got to give me a second to get this up and running again. Hold on. Yeah, give us Derek in Foxborough. I see him on.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Derek. Take it away.
Well, what's up, guys?
Hey.
You know, I thought of the perfect comparison for Kyrie Irving. He's the Terrell Owens of the NBA. Tremendous talent, but he destroys every locker room he's in. You know, Skip Bayless, crazy, wacky Skip Bayless, nicknamed Owens, Team Obliterator. And that's what Kyrie Irving is. He's Team Obliterator because he destroyed the Celtics.
Do you like Caillou, Derek? You ever watched?
I've never actually seen Caillou.
Yeah.
I'm, you know.
What's your favorite cartoon?
South Park.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
It's an adult-oriented cartoon.
Yeah. Derek gets it.
I have big news, Mommy and Daddy. Guess what it is?
You're moving out?
Oh, yes. Please say you're moving out.
No, I'm not moving out. But I am making a move in my romantic life. I have a date.
That is great news, Caillou.
And this is Caillou as an adult. That's what it's going to sound like?
That's not even funny.
Yeah, and it's really surprising. Who would go out with you?
Oh.
Somebody from Tinder, Daddy.
Is the animation him as an adult or him as a kid?
Him.
Oh, it's his parents as an adult, as older parents too. Same kitchen.
Someone took the
we
time.
We spent way too much time on this Edwards kid.
Someone took the time to do
We've
that.
We've spent way too much time on this Edwards kid.
Maybe that's what Carson Edwards enjoys watching.
Ow. I'm a beetle. Ow.
It's concerning, at the very least. It's concerning.
You take this in consideration when you know,
I'm messed up.
Yeah.
Hold on.
What are you doing on the call screen right here?
Yeah, it's all fouled up, isn't it? Yeah, why don't we go to the headlines? We'll see if we can sort this out, if you don't mind. I also want to play a cut of Danny Ainge from yesterday, from his press conference that we didn't get to yesterday when it happened.
Oh, it makes all the sense in the world, considering what Edwards likes.
We weren't spending any time on that yesterday. We'll get to it coming up in 90 seconds after the headlines while we try and sort out the call thing, too. Okay? Cool. Thank you.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.